Welcome to Manage Your Tools. This week, the 95% solution, part one. The questions this cast answers are, how can I get more done every week? How can I make time for a project? How can I boost my productivity?
Like you, I listen to podcasts while walking, driving, mowing the lawn, and doing other chores. And like you, I listen at 1.25 or 1.5 speed, depending on how fast the person speaks. I can't take notes, and even if I could, I couldn't take them that fast. And that's what show notes are for. Unlike other podcasts, our show notes are not a list of bullet points or links. It's the text of a show in an essay-like form, no note-taking required. Read them to remind yourself what you thought at the time, for a quick refresher when you need it, or as an alternative to listening during busy periods. All you need is a Manager Tools personal license. Go to managertools.com, look for products in the menu bar, and scroll down to personal license. You won't regret it.
I'm actually really excited about this cast because I hear so often from people how they need more time to get stuff done. Yeah. Well, I guess that's not totally true, right? What I hear from people is, oh my gosh, Kate, I'm so busy. Mm-hmm. I hear that all the time from everyone. And I have to be fair to people who have been in a training with me in the last 3 years, because I do make a comment a lot about how often I hear that remark and the fact that I struggle with it a bit, because I think if everyone was as busy as they say that they are, Candy Crush wouldn't exist.
Right.
Or, you know, Game of Thrones. It's like 1,000 hours of television. You know, another caveat is I've just convinced multiple people to watch Yellowstone.
Oh, I've not watched it.
You should watch it.
I've heard it's really good. I just haven't committed yet.
So great. And it's also many, many, many hours of television.
Many.
So I'm really excited about this because I think this is something that I can refer people to as, you know, just the people I talk to all the time who are saying, I'm so, so busy. And my assumption is when people say that they're so, so busy, what they mean is I don't have enough time to get stuff done. And I don't have enough time to get that kind of like pending overhang list.
Yeah.
Of stuff.
There's so much to do. How do you get to everything on the list?
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. And so this cast is going to, we're going to talk about how to get 2.5 more hours out of your week. Yeah, which,
not bad. Not bad at all.
It's really big in my mind. I mean.
I know. Yeah. Exactly. 2.5 hours is a lot of hours.
Right.
We're going to talk today a lot about the fact that we don't manage time. We manage priorities. And the way that professionals manage their priorities is to allocate time to those priorities based on their level of importance. So today we're going to talk about how to get more time to focus on your priorities. Mm-hmm. Whatever those priorities are. I mean, your priorities might be Yellowstone.
Maybe.
But you have to determine. You have to identify your priorities and make time for those priorities.
I also think this is something that people struggle with that isn't readily apparent when you're thinking about managing your time and your workload. And I think part of that is, if you're anything like me, if your experience is anything like mine, a large part of the stress and frustration I experience during my work week comes from spending time on things that I know I should not be focused on at that moment.
Yeah.
You know, if a Slack comes up that's something that's urgent, suddenly I'm working on something that isn't in my top priority list. Or every time you're in your inbox.
Yeah.
I know that for myself, that causes this kind of stress feeling.
Yeah,
of,
it does.
I'm not working on the right thing. And
but I've been pulled in all these directions all day. I've been running so quickly. Mm-hmm. And yet I turn around and look behind me and nothing is complete.
Yeah. And I think every minute you spend working on something that isn't in your top priority list enhances that feeling.
Yes, I agree.
I'm not working on the right stuff. So this really, y'all, I think it's important to go into this content today with the idea that we're really thinking about your priorities here. Like, mm-hmm. That's the
What's
basic.
Important?
Yeah. Like, start there. Like, okay, this is about priorities and priority decisions. And then what we're going to discuss is getting 100% of your work done in 95% of the time,
mm-hmm.
which at 50 hours a week is 5%, and that's 2.5 hours.
Which is a lot of hours.
Smaller blocks are a better way to implement this.
Mm-hmm.
Mornings are better.
Mm-hmm.
You should put that new priority on your calendar, the one that you're going to use to fill up those new 2.5 hours. And if you're too busy now, you can start this in 5 weeks. It doesn't have to be a now thing. Maybe you're busy watching Yellowstone.
Yeah, there's things going on that you're doing. All right. So let's start with getting 100% of your work done in 95% of the time. Now, to Kate's point a moment earlier, we're always being told that folks don't have enough time to get to their special projects, to get to their new ideas, to get to those, this is an idea that's going to enhance the future of our organization, but I don't have it. They say things like, all the time, I got no time for one-on-ones, no time for staff meetings, no time for big ideas. And I mean, we get it. We understand that you're busy. We are too.
Yeah.
We appreciate that feeling. But we also know that highly productive professionals do all of the things that are required to give them all the time they need.
Mm-hmm. Everyone talks about being busy. I find that there are very few people who don't describe themselves as busy.
Oh, very few. I don't know if I've ever met one.
Yeah. And I think about that, right? If you meet 50 people and all of them say they're busy and you know how busy you are, if you're listening to this cast, I'm going to assume you work really hard. You might even be, mm-hmm. you know, top performer level. Probably
yeah,
you
totally.
Are. Which means your definition of busy and their definition of busy are different.
Yeah.
And work expands to fit the time allotted. So mm-hmm. your idea of busy is probably based on a little bit, a legacy amount of time that your work took.
Yeah.
So 6 months ago, when you put this thing on your calendar, assuming it's on your calendar, you probably said, oh, I need an hour for that.
Mm-hmm.
Great news. By now, you probably only need 45 minutes.
Right. You got better at it over time through practice. What took you a long time to do at the beginning now doesn't take you nearly as long.
Yeah. And so we're going to think about that as we go through this, because mm-hmm. really the first rule of getting more done at work is to remember that your first priority is family.
Yeah. Your first priority isn't even work. That's the first rule.
Yeah. Step one, you can easily get more done at work without sacrificing 1 minute of family time using this technique that we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
And please, y'all, do not take time away from your family as your first choice in any time, priority, or new initiative effort. You don't have to. And if you make the mistake of doing that and then you get rewarded for it, you'll have started a vicious cycle that puts your career in competition with your family. And that's a recipe for disaster. But also the idea that your career is in competition with right. your family. I mean, that's the way that a lot of us are behaving. Is that our
Yeah, unfortunately, that's true.
And that doesn't mean that it's accurate. It does mean that you want to take a step back and think about, hey, family first. That's my main priority.
Yeah.
And let's not behave in a way that exhibits behavior that, oh, my career and my family are in competition. Let's eliminate that.
Right.
Family time goes on the calendar first. And we have talked about this in the past. We've talked about decide what time you're going to go home.
Yes.
And leave your desk or leave your desk since some of us are, more of us are at home than ever.
More of us are at home, yeah.
Yeah, we're recording this in the summer of 2021. So a lot of people are working from home right now. And that may mean you just leave your desk. You don't go home. But go to spend time with your family.
Yeah.
And decide what time of day you're going to do that every single day. And then the next rule is to simply compress your work. Make sure that everything you're doing now gets done. And it takes less time this week than it did last week. And this is what I was talking about, where you've gotten better, you've gotten faster. So even just reducing, you know, okay, I've scheduled to work on this thing for an hour and a half. Just reduce that by 5%. That's all you need. And collectively, right, if you can do everything by just a mm-hmm. little bit, you can get to that 5%, which is all you need to really grab enough real estate to make a difference in your results.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Exactly. Overall, on the overall. Now, in terms of the ways we can compress work, As Kate talked, over time, we just naturally do compress work. I mean, we get better. We have practice.
But we also still schedule it for the same time. But we'll come to that.
We'll come to that. But yes, we also do that, right? Like, oh, this has always taken me an hour. And work expands to fit the time allotted. Now, we're going to talk more specifically about three additional ways of us intentionally, purposefully compressing our work. They are actual work compression, delegation to our directs, and finally, delegation to the floor. Now, all three of these concepts, these work compression techniques, work very well. You can use varying degrees of all of them together at the same time. And you're best to know how to apply them to your specific situation. That said, if you immediately focused on actual compression of your work versus doing any delegation or delegation to the floor technology or strategies, you're going to be making a mistake. We want you to employ all three techniques to varying degrees at the same time to get the most out of this compression strategy.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to start with the last two, even though I've been talking about compressing things in your calendar this whole time because I love the idea and also went through my calendar next week and was like, this doesn't need to be this long. We're going to start with the last two because of the natural tendency to ignore delegation and delegating to the floor, since you already know about them. There are people listening who are like, yeah, I know about that stuff.
Or I tried it. It worked. It didn't work out. My direct said no. It failed miserably. All those kinds of things.
So first of all, forget what you tried. You are where you are and you need or want more time for something significant. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always be where you've always been. What got you here won't get you there. Doing what you've done in the past is not a recipe for success. Not that you're not currently successful, but to reach the next level, success of that next level takes change.
Takes change. Exactly. As uncomfortable as it may be, it takes change.
Yeah.
Now, going back to delegating to your directs, we'd bet that there is a chance that when you first tried delegating, you weren't that good at it. You didn't push yourself hard enough. You didn't use the words we specifically recommend in the delegation model because you thought they were too scripted and I can do this better than the data. You rolled over a bit too easily when your direct said no, they were too busy. Now, let's think about that for a second. Your boss knows you're busy, but they still continually give you more and more to do. Why then is it that managers, particularly or especially frontline managers, accept the I'm too busy reason from their directs? Busyness, it's not a defense against delegation. By definition, it's not a defense against delegation. Your directs ought to do their own 100% of the work in 90% of the time, just as you are. They should do this analysis and figure it out for themselves how to make it work such that they can be accepting of our delegation. Now, because chances are you're listening to this podcast and they may not be, we'd suggest that for the first couple of weeks, you help them through. Maybe have them listen to this podcast. Maybe talk to them about the strategies for compressing their own work to allow them time to focus on this delegation, which you've just delivered to them. Now, to Kate's point a bit earlier, we might not be starting for a few weeks anyway, right? We might be waiting till the end of the summer, meeting 5 weeks. So there's time for both us and them to do an analysis and then a transition of that work to our direct.
What's crazy, y'all, is that it is actually only about 5 weeks until the end of the summer. So if you're listening to this on, you know,
July
the
19th.
Date, yeah, the date when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's end of summer. That's it.
Yeah.
Las Vegas is one of the most popular cities in the US for conferences, and we are finally getting on the bandwagon. Manager Tools will be in Las Vegas August 31st and September 1st for our Effective Manager and Effective Communicator Conference in Las Vegas. And on the same 2 days, Vancouver, British Columbia, if you are in the west coast of Canada. Doesn't matter where you are, the Manager Tools Conference will teach you how to be an effective manager in just 1 day, and you can get back to work and start implementing right away. And if you're not a manager, you just need to communicate with people at work, and who doesn't? The Effective Communicator is also just 1 day. You can get back to work and change the way you work and the way you interact with other people to be more effective in just 1 day. We'll see you in Las Vegas, Vancouver, or one of our other locations. Just go to the website and look for training. You'll find a conference calendar for all of our in-person and virtual sessions for this year and all of next year, so you can get planning right there.
Okay, so we've already shared in our many casts about delegation a couple of key ways to start thinking about delegation, which will hopefully kind of help your mindset. So first, ask each of your directs what they're good at, what they say they want to do, what you feel they need to do, and what they say they like to do. And interesting, you know, there's a lot of people, or there's a lot of interaction between these different pieces. So, and you know, I always think it's interesting that a lot of people love spreadsheets, and those people are often pretty good at them. But then there's a lot of people who like to go to meetings, but they're not necessarily
good at it.
So ask those questions, and then irrespective of whether you're also good at, mm-hmm. want to, need to, or like to do those things, delegate those items that fit the criteria based on them, not yourself.
Not you.
Don't push down stuff you don't like, don't want, don't need, or aren't good at. They'll see that coming from a mile away and resist.
Yeah. In fact, this is why many of our directs are saying no to us. I mean, it might not even be from their experience with us personally. Maybe we've been doing it right all along, but you want to put money down on the fact that their previous manager delegated stuff to them that they did not want to do themselves. So it was a dumping ground. Your directs know that.
Also, they are going to experience this much differently if you make it a pull system rather than like a push down system. But if it's a pull system where they're getting good stuff from you versus bad, it's going to be so much more beneficial to them. They're going to actually experience it well. And it's especially persuasive when you delegate things they know that you like, want, need, or are good at. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, delegation doesn't have a bad name.
Right? It's like, ooh, I'm getting good stuff.
Yeah.
I don't mind delegation at all. Exactly. Now, if you need a different way of thinking about what to delegate, we have a few responsibilities that smart managers consider easy pickings, low-hanging fruit opportunities for delegation. From things that are trivially easy to a bit harder. They're reporting, running meetings, presentations, and projects. Now, if you're running 3 projects yourself, you're thinking to yourself, these are the most important things I can do for my organization. And in most cases, that's too many. 3 projects? In fact, we'd suggested 2 projects. If they're the most important thing that you're doing for your organization, are too many.
I think often when we think about delegation, we really want to focus on higher level stuff. We're thinking, oh, I've got to give them things with substance. And I don't disagree. And depending on what level of management you are currently at, that may be true. However, remember that part of this, a component of this, is that if your directs get promoted and they don't know how to do something simple like run a meeting or create a report or present that report,
give a briefing,
that's something that you haven't done for them. You haven't trained them. And people are going to be wondering what you were teaching them when they were working for you. And this is the difference between how managers and executives are evaluated. Managers are evaluated on whether or not their people get promoted. And in some places, that's enough. Executives, though, are evaluated on whether or not when their people get promoted, those people do well. Mm-hmm. And if your direct can't run a meeting, y'all, we're doing a disservice to mm-hmm. our organization. If you inherit somebody, if you've ever inherited somebody and thought to yourself, how does this person not know how to do this thing?
Right.
It's the previous manager's lack of either delegation or coaching, teaching that put you in that position. The organization cannot, in my opinion, withstand situations where anybody above the level of individual contributor can't run a meeting, create a report, give a brief, mm-hmm. create a presentation. If somebody gets out of individual contributor level and they can't do that,
oof.
I mean, seriously, we're going to teach them at this, like anything above entry, I think it's reasonable to expect that somebody can do this. So
yeah. Speaking of reasonableness, something to consider in terms of delegation is, as managers, we need to get a lot more reasonable about the standard for acceptable completion of tasks. That is, we want you to keep in mind that the standard for the work that you currently delegate is not that your direct can do it as well or as fast as you can do it. And that is a common incorrect assumption that holds many managers back from delegation. Mm-hmm. I mean, of the top three, and there's a top three reasons managers don't delegate, I would suggest, I mean, this is anecdotal data based on my experience, that the number one reason is that the individuals I'm looking to delegate things to cannot accomplish that task as well as I can. Therefore, I oughtn't delegate it. But remember that the standard is only that they can achieve or get done whatever it is that you're delegating after a learning curve and roughly as well as the first time you did it yourself. Because, I mean, guess who else was not nearly as good at this task when they first started doing it as you are today? You, when you started doing it, it's still you. You probably don't even remember, to be perfectly frank, just how bad you are or were at some parts of your job back when you first started doing this job. I mean, now you think back on it like, oh yeah, I mean, I stumbled a little bit, but I wasn't terrible. You were probably pretty terrible. Why? Because your manager probably didn't delegate enough things to you. And you ended up running meetings that you were really poor at running. And everyone else looked around and said, how did this person get promoted? They can't even run a simple meeting. I mean, it happens in organizations. And then we only further serve to replicate this bad behavior. Now, all that to say, you still have your job. You yeah. were pretty bad at it. They didn't fire you. They didn't fire you for not being as good back then as you are now. And they're certainly not going to fire your direct for not being up to speed immediately, because organizations, your organization has proven it's willing to withstand that drop in quality for the long-term benefits of someone who's not the manager themselves achieving that activity. So you've got experience that there's an acceptable level of completion, and that acceptable level is when you did it yourself. Now, if your directs need a little bit of help figuring out what things of theirs they're not going to do, when we talk about delegation, it's a cascade. That is, if I'm delegating something down, something from my direct's plate might need to also move down. Now, whether they have a direct of their own or the floor.
Also, y'all, the stuff that we're going to talk about compression might be the other way that your directs keep everything that they're doing and take on that new delegation.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Yes. But in addition, help them. I mean, help them if they need help figuring out what they need to delegate to the floor and stop doing, assist them with that. Show them our podcast or have them listen to our podcast on a delegation to the floor.
Yeah.
Walk them through these strategies for work compression, things like that. Again, spend some time with them, helping them understand how to employ these tools to allow them to be accepting of delegation as well.
Especially because I find that people at every level that I talk to, they become very possessive of their work. Mm. It's like, I always describe it as like Gollum. It's like, my precious. Because like people say to me all the time, Kate, I'm so busy. And I say, okay, make a list of everything you're working on, 1 to 25. Let's take the bottom 5 things and get rid of them. And so we look at the list and they say, oh no, I couldn't get rid of that.
No, I can't. I got to keep that. That's super important. I need to.
I can't get rid of that. To every single thing. Yeah. And it, so you can't hold both things in your head, y'all, that, oh, I need more time, but I have to keep doing everything.
Yeah.
You can't do it that way. I mean, you can, but that tension you feel, that stress you feel, it's because you're putting yourself in that position. Mm-hmm. Your directs feel the same way about having to get rid of some work. So you want to make sure they understand the principle here. And part of the reason I say that, y'all, is because sometimes your directs will pick the wrong stuff to get rid of.
Yeah.
So you do want to make sure that you know what they're getting rid of and why, and that you guys made an assessment. And here's a different standard. Forget about their time or quality for a minute, and even your time. Ask yourself a simpler question. What will I get in the least trouble here for not doing or doing poorly for a time? And one of the ways that I think about this when I'm making assessments like this is I ask myself, is there anything, like say you were going on vacation. Oh, Sarah is going on vacation next week.
I am.
Say you're going on vacation for 1 week only. Is there anything on your list that you would not delegate out that week? You would say to yourself, you know what? That thing can wait till I come back. That thing isn't important enough. Mm-hmm. It can wait. Y'all, those may be some stuff, maybe part of your list of what will I get in the least trouble for not doing or doing poorly. And I would suggest it's a really low-hanging fruit for delegated items because it has to get done. It's taking up space in your brain. And if it can wait because you're just not there, then let's reduce the cost of it by delegating it or delegating it to the floor. I love when the cost is zero. That's my favorite thing. So
exactly.
And this question, what will I get in the least trouble here for not doing or for doing poorly for a time? Mm-hmm. This is an often unasked question by managers, and it's considered critical for executives. The higher you get, the more work you'll have. You have all of your work plus managing and leading your larger organization. Mm-hmm. It just keeps coming, y'all. I mean, there's just, I think younger professionals sometimes assume that when you become a manager, there's less to do because you have somebody to give work to. For those of you who are, if you're listening, that's not the case.
That's not the case. And you guys know executives. I mean, the higher on the ladder you go, the easier it is to throw rocks. You've seen them. You know they're not perfect. You know where their blemishes lie. They have them. They're just smarter about doing the important things well and not focusing on the less important things.
Exactly.
They're not doing everything.
Who could possibly? No one.
Right. No one.
You can't.
It's impossible.
And this idea of delegating to the floor, it's not just for people at the bottom. I mean, we're talking a lot about people at the bottom because I assume most managers who are listening are kind of in the middle. And so delegating to your directs might mean some stuff gets pushed out. But it's not just for individual contributors. It's not, y'all. There's some stuff on your desk that you could simply take out of your brain, out of your mind, off of your plate. The pile that you've been meaning to get to that's at the back of your desk, trash it, shelve it, file it. Mm-hmm. If it hasn't happened for 3 months and you're not getting in any trouble for it, it's not a priority. Mm-mm. It's not. Let it go. Put it in a suspense file. Go listen to our podcast on suspense file and put it there. And then every month, once a month, mine's on the 25th because I don't know why. On the 25th of every month, I have 2 things on my calendar, 30 minutes long. Monthly calendar review because I look at the month coming up and I say, okay, what's on the calendar? What needs to get moved? And that's because I travel, y'all. It's not necessary for everybody, but it does help me get out ahead of meetings that are booked over each other or booked over travel. Like it's just a really nice little way for me to know what's coming. And the second thing is suspense file check. Mm-hmm. And I actually just, I manage my suspense file in my inbox. Well, in my email, I send myself an email or I put a suspense file marker on stuff. Mm-hmm. I file it a suspense file, or I send myself an email that says, hey, remember this thing? And I mark it suspense file. Mm-hmm. And that reminds me to come back to it, because mm-hmm. if it sits in the background for a while, hey, guess what? It's not priority.
Right.
That's actually part of it. Listen, if you look at something, okay, you look at that pile, that list of stuff you haven't gotten to, and you decide that it is a priority, great. You can spend your 2.5% that we're going to talk about
yeah.
on it. You spend your winnings on it.
Right, your winnings.
Everything else, though, found. Put in the round folder or the someday folder if you're a getting things done person, or your suspense file, which we talk about in one of our casts as well.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'd also consider the things on the front of your desk and looking at the things we do on a day-to-day basis with a more critical eye. That's something that many of us don't do. But ask yourself, do you go to any meetings that you derive no value from? I mean, you're not on the agenda. You're not expected to contribute in the meeting. You're a passive recipient of information, which you've already deemed to be so unimportant that you're also multitasking and reading your email throughout the meeting. Stop going to that meeting.
Yeah, why are you going to that meeting?
Don't go to that meeting. If you create a TPS report, that is a useless report within the organization that no one is reading and you know people aren't paying attention to, stop creating that report. Be more skeptical about the work that is on the front of your desk as well. Look for opportunities to stop doing non-useful work.
That's a great way to say it. Be more skeptical about the work at the front of your desk. We'll be back next week with more on this topic.